And welcome to Real Career Talk, a monthly podcast series brought to you by The Network, BICP, where we speak with internal AT&T and external leaders who will give us real career advice and holistic understanding of how to navigate our careers with vigor. With me today is Wealthy Desai, AVP, Product Management and Development, Digital at AT&T. And the subject that we have for this episode is career transformation with or without AI or artificial intelligence. I am your host, Andrea Lim. And Wealthy, I thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me here. I appreciate it.
Much in the same way that our subject is about career transformation, this is a little bit of a transformation for this episode because we usually do this virtually, but I am thrilled to actually have you in person. But in the spirit of having to introduce my guests, I will have to read a little bit of your bio. So give me just a few minutes. All right. So I definitely appreciate you being with me today. And I think you definitely can speak on this subject of career transformation because you have had quite a journey yourself. So just to introduce you to our guest, again, he is the AVP of Product Management and Development, Digital at AT&T, where he leads a dedicated team of 260 plus designers, producers, strategists, developers, and product managers with responsibilities to monetize online traffic through advertising, delivering over 100 million plus in revenue. And did I say he's my boss? Forgot to mention that part. All right. He has over 20 years in building and leading winning teams, and the creative studio he led won the 2021 Adobe Workfront Lion Award for organizational agility and the ability to quickly and continuously innovate. So impressive. 15 plus years in e-commerce sales, digital marketing, content strategy, and merchandising, over 6 years in A/B testing, building and scaling experimentation programs, 7 plus years in analytics and financial planning, 8 plus years in software development, where do you find the time? And 10 plus years in building global teams across countries and time zones. Impressive. He received his undergraduate degree from the University of Mumbai and his MBA from Georgia State University, my home school, and is a board member of the DRIM Commerce that owns a group of companies and specializes in helping small businesses like plumbers, home builders, kitchen designers, et cetera, manage their companies. And he lives in Atlanta, Georgia with his wife and children. Again, thank you so much for being here. Sure. Lots to unpack with this subject. So I'm going to throw you a couple of softballs because I always like to just like warm us up. Tell me something people don't know about you if they Google you.
What they will find is I have a brother.
Okay.
And his name is Healthy. And he's a doctor. So he's Dr. Healthy.
Dr. Healthy.
Yes.
Oh my God. That is absolutely hilarious. Apologies for that little typo. My goodness, I don't doubt that if I were to have a doctor named Healthy, I would immediately feel at ease.
You'll visit him often.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, another softball. Do you have a nickname or something only a few people call you, like your mom or something like that?
I do. I was named after a god. So I was born on the birth of Lord Krishna, if you know.
Okay.
If you know that. And my name, the name that they call me at home is Bansi.
Oh, wow. Yes. That is so cool. So cool. All right. Before we really dive into our subject, and this one is sort of a pun into talking about transformation. Tell me the one thing you can't live without.
In terms of transformation?
Yes.
I would say change.
Okay.
Change is something that I enjoy. Especially being part of a change, driving change. And I think it's a great sign of leadership when you are able to drive change. And I think when I think of the biggest leaders, right, whether it's Steve Jobs or Bill Gates or Elon Musk, like it's the change that they drove rather than they ran the business.
Right. Could not agree with you more. You know, when I thought about this subject, especially because in this age of digital transformation, change is inevitable. It is the thing that I feel drives humanity, quite frankly. And so we really should embrace it. So you've had so many different jobs and so many varied experiences. Give us a little idea of, was there a pivotal moment in your life that set you off on that trajectory to just be so open to so many different, diverse, different backgrounds?
That's a very interesting question because, you know, there are career journeys that I have followed on certain leaders who are passionate about certain things. And, you know, my career has evolved in many different dimensions. Actually, I studied mechanical engineering based on the guidance from my father. And I was kind of pursuing a career in becoming a mechanical engineer and working factories and so forth. And then by the time I graduated, I realized that I was really enjoying the software part of it, software development. And I moved into that space and developing software and, you know, working in consulting and so forth. I traveled. And then the fundamental thing I enjoyed the most was problem solving. Okay. So whether it be software or, you know, as an engineer, like learning different dimensions on how to solve problems. So I really enjoyed that for the last 10, 12 years. And then I thought that, you know, I want to solve bigger problems, business problems, and I pursued my MBA. And then, you know, the first job after my MBA was a pivotal moment, I would call it, where I took on a role in the space of analytics, data analytics. Mm-hmm. That was really pivotal because then it gave me a lot of understanding driven through numbers. And then I could see, you know, how the focus on numbers can drive action.
Yes.
And I think that was pretty pivotal change in terms of expanding my horizon from problem solving smaller problems to solving bigger problems. Mm-hmm. And then that led to sales and marketing and then led to creative and so forth. So my journey has been like, you know, studied mechanical engineering and then worked in software and then worked in analytics. And then worked in sales and marketing, and then eventually doing creative work,
right,
which is pretty fascinating because I could apply all the prior learnings into the next job and next job and kept building on this horizontal base almost in applying the skills to grow e-commerce.
Yeah. Wow. Fascinating. You have to deal with a lot of experimentation and innovation when it comes to actually understanding that you could move to all of those different places because you didn't learn any of those principles like directly.
Yeah.
You kind of figured those out as you went along. So give us an idea of what keeps you motivated about experimentation and innovation, because for a lot of people, they fear it.
Yeah. And I think, so it goes back to the word you asked me a lot was change, right? And then change is usually hard when inflicted upon us. Change is well accepted when you are part of it. And I think the experimentation mindset allows us to start with change small, that you say you take a small piece of the larger puzzle and solve it and say build up the confidence, and then you bring other people along. And one of the things that we have done at AT&T is, you know, spend a lot of energy in creating ideas, and rather than saying, okay, this is the drastic change we're going to make over 2 years or 3 years, we take small pieces and then start driving that. And it gives us the ability to fail fast, stop when necessary, and then keep moving along. I give this analogy based on some of the videos I had seen in the past. It's around a door that swings both ways and the door that swings one way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you were in like we were laying out a railroad business, right? It's a one-way street. Like, you know, you lay out the railroad and then, you know, it's a 10-year capital investment. Whereas, you know, the things that we do in e-commerce is so fast, and that's the part I enjoy the most, is that we could make small investment, try these things out, take an idea, actually put it in front of the customers, take their feedback rather than your opinion versus mine, and then adjust course.
Right.
And then we can say, should we expand this idea or shrink the idea?
Right.
And that works very well.
You touched upon something kind of with regards to failing fast. I think there are some people who could be afraid in terms of navigating their career or going into places that they are unfamiliar with because they are afraid of failure. So if you had to give advice to anyone about that philosophy of fail fast, how would you tell them to approach that fear? And have you yourself experienced something that you have failed? What lesson did you learn from it?
Yeah, I think that I would say that, you know, first, like when you're going for a change in role, you have to have some level of faith in your in yourself to say that, hey, I'll take this risk and I'll jump in and I'll figure out a way. Second, who you're going to work for plays a pretty particularly critical role, as it has played in my career. Somebody who's willing to take the risk on you, right? Mm-hmm. Even though you may not have the skill sets, but if that person says that, yeah, I know, I see that you can do 30% or 40% and you'll have to learn 70 to 80%, I'm willing to bet on you. Now, some roles, it may be negotiable. In some roles, it may not be. And when that happens, I think both of these kind of creates a good marriage or partnership between the employee and the employer. And I think that can create a winning combination for that person to rise through the ranks very quickly, because you bring something that doesn't exist in this team, mm-hmm. that background may not be valued, but then in 6 months, you learn and you apply some of those learnings. And that's what actually happened with me. The things that I learned in analytics, I was able to apply to business. The mm-hmm. things that I learned in business, I was able to apply in the creative merchandising. Mm-hmm. And then things that I learned in creative merchandising, I was able to apply to A/B testing,
right,
and create better experiences. So that has worked for me. That may not be the only way,
sure,
but it has worked for me in my career. And that's how I can advise somebody that, you know, the risks that you could do, you can take, you have to kind of build that, have some faith and find somebody who's willing to take bet on you.
Right. You touched upon something very, very lightly, and it's circling around with this theme about something that didn't exist. So artificial intelligence, you know, is all the rage. And dare I say, it didn't exist, at least in the way in which we are hearing about it today. And it does strike a little bit of fear. I'll tell you, I think it strikes some fear because it has a bad branding. So artificial in and of itself is like, doesn't have a positive association. They should call it assistive intelligence. Mm-hmm. And you shared with me yesterday something which I definitely want the audience to hear. When you're thinking about artificial intelligence and maybe afraid of the change and embracing it in terms of the ways in which it can help you understand how to navigate your career, what would you say to someone about how AI can assist them in their career trajectory and their career transformation, even if they were exploring that?
Sure. And I think, so in this case, right, I think of this movie that Will Smith had and there were robots. The name of the movie is called iRobot. And the idea was that the robots can help you with anything and everything in your house, in your life. And eventually that, you know, the movie has a lot of dramatic turns here, yes, and there. But then that's what it talks about. The movie talks about how the robots learn. And, you know, sometimes they can help you, but they can also create a threat. Even though the humans created them, you know, it can become a problem for you. But the way generative AI, I see the opportunities here is like, I take the Tesla analogy about full self-driving versus an autopilot, which is, you know, enhanced autopilot. So you keep the control with you, but then it enhances your productivity.
Yes.
So, I'm a Tesla owner and I've really enjoyed these features that are evolving because the machine is learning and it's making my life easier in accomplishing my task. Mm-hmm. So it can, the one learning I had recently was, you know, that you, that the AI will not necessarily replace what we do as human beings, but it can replace the person who knows how to use AI to improve their productivity will replace somebody who cannot.
Yes.
So it is very critical that we all kind of learn in take. And again, it cannot be a prescription that everybody should learn, but I think it has to be self-driven. And if we do that, I think it will enhance our productivity, our ways of living our life, and many of the tools that are going to be available in the near future to do our jobs at home, at work, I think will be great.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about the opportunity.
Yeah, I love that. and everything that you just said, because I completely agree with you. Technology does not change things. People do.
Yes.
And so what do you do to keep yourself current and relevant and of value? Because I think much in the same way that you mentioned to me even yesterday, you know, you have to have a passion for continuous learning. So how do you keep yourself continuously motivated to want to keep learning, especially like with new things such as AI and things of that nature?
Yeah. So as a leader in the business, I never kind of have the opportunity to learn all the tools that my team members know. So there are a lot of experts within my own team. So I rely on two sources. I would say three sources, like, you know, learning lots of, a lot of the things through YouTube videos. The second two biggest sources are my kids. I learn a lot from them. And then two, my team members.
Okay.
There's a lot of expertise within my own team. As a, for example, the sessions I had yesterday, breakout sessions with some of my team members, and some of the things that they shared with me on how they were producing videos and, you know, e-commerce content. That was pretty insightful for me. And I would like to kind of spread some of that knowledge within my own team on how we can do that. Second is my kids, right? You know, when they buy certain products or toys, or, you know, when they are learning some of the things from the school and they're bringing those problems to me, that's a way of learning for mm-hmm. me as well. Mm-hmm. And then the third, you know, obviously I watch a lot of videos and so forth, kind of look at how the Gen AI is evolving, the ChatGPT-3 to ChatGPT-4, what are the new things that are happening with the new models which are learning and training, and how they're being applied in solving different problems, mm-hmm. whether it is in my own space or, you know, in autopilot with the cars or in CNC machines outside.
Yeah. It's a lot of experimentation that's going on in your life, because you're absorbing a lot of information and then you're using that and applying it. And that experimentation and that innovation can drive further change, which is fantastic. Stability is something that comes top of mind to me when I think about experimentation and innovation. I need things that are a little stable. I need things that are a little bit more guaranteed. And so I could be a little more risk shy. Yeah. So if you had to talk to your younger self, right? Because mm-hmm. you have all of this knowledge now, but if you had to talk to your younger self about how to get over your need for stability, or not to get over it, but how to balance a need for stability, but still want to experiment and be open to experimentation and innovation, what would you say to yourself?
I would say to myself, take bigger risks. I would say if I were to go back 10 years, I would say that I should have taken larger risks mm-hmm. than I did. I took more of an 80-20 approach in terms of, you know, learning new skills and navigating and so forth. Maybe the 80-20 could have been, you know, 20-80 or, mm-hmm. you know, 30-70. I feel like, you know, when people do take larger risks, you know, that fear, the thing they're looking for is stability, that you build a lot more confidence mm-hmm. Instead of the four or five things I talked about, you know, software development, analytics, you know, sales, marketing, product development, and A/B testing and creative aspects. Maybe that list would have been longer mm-hmm, if mm-hmm. I had taken more frequent risks longer and faster.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's not easy. That is for sure. It is not easy to sort of change that mind. Have you ever encountered any skepticism? Yes. Or resistance from you wanting to, you know, move into these different areas?
I have from myself, my own self, as well as, you know, some of my peers or my leaders on taking on some challenges, whether we'll be able to get through some of this. Sometimes, you know, it's the business need which has evolved and given me the opportunity to take on a new challenge. But I think I remember the first incidents I had, like coming from a software development into the analytics role. And I didn't really quite understand that for the first 3 weeks. And mm-hmm. my supervisor, again, going back to that supervisor's willingness to take risk yes. on me, bet on me, I'm very, very grateful for that leader, Suzanne Walker, who helped me kind of navigate that. And then in that first month, I was trying to figure out what that role was about, mm-hmm. what I'm supposed to do. And then one day it clicked that, you know, so as an analyst, it's not so much about data and reporting, it's about the storytelling. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the news reporter on CNN or CNBC and looking at the numbers and saying, this is what is going to happen in the market.
Right.
And once I got that, I realized that, okay, this is what I need to be doing. And I put in a lot of energy and then I nailed the job, you know, after that. But I think that skepticism, but the willingness to overcome that with hard work, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, it can be addressed. So I those are the lessons I've learned. And I would say the skepticism may exist in any change,
yeah,
but hard work can overcome that.
Yeah. Coming up to the end, and you've touched upon this a couple of times, and I think it's difficult for some people who might be more of an introvert than an extrovert to find mentors or recognize when they have someone who's actually advocating for them. So one final piece of advice, if you had to give to someone, whether they're starting out their career or mid-career or coming close to the end, but they are looking for a sounding board or, you know, board of trustees, how would you go about telling someone to recognize or reach out and find a mentor?
It's always about proactive reach. I don't think that generally people want to not give advice or help other people. I strongly believe growing up, generally people are good. Generally people will want to help. Mm-hmm. Very rarely I have heard no. So the key that I've seen is not just having these one-on-one sessions and say, hey, this is my career path. What do you think? It's really the key opportunity to work with someone. Mm-hmm. Having a one-on-one session maybe help guide and course correct a little bit, get some learnings, mm-hmm. but it's very important to look for, rather than looking for a president in a company, I would look for a senior manager in a company, but then he or she gives me an opportunity to work with her.
Yes.
And I can learn new skills. So you talked about the board I serve with some of the small businesses. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity I get that they are very small businesses, right? They are plumbers, for example, or, you know, people who sell, you know, kitchen improvements. So they get businesses through referrals. Mm-hmm. So the lesson I learned, because when they're in a small company, they have one showroom, it's a one-person show, they're getting about a lot of things. They may not know how to get traffic into the, mm-hmm. the showroom. And that's what I'm good at.
Yeah.
And when I ask for simple things, I realize that they have too many things going on in their life. I don't have all those skills on how to serve the customers and sell flooring and all of that. However, the things I'm able to add value to allows them to create and grow their business. Mm-hmm. And I think that has expanded my horizon in terms of thinking how working in a large company where I don't have to worry about, you know, some kind of budget or the traffic. Here, they have to worry about every single customer right. who walks into the store.
Right, right, right. Love that. It is, and it should always be top of mind, I think, what value you can bring to someone, rather big or rather small, because everyone can contribute to that. And it can help you create the kind of career that you ultimately want. So my final question for you is there a question that I should have asked you along the lines of career transformation and experimentation and innovation, a question I should have asked you didn't, and how would you answer it?
That's a pretty bold and forces me to think hard. Maybe the one question would be to accelerate the change, accelerate the career, the changes that you want to make in your lifestyle or the price you are willing to pay. I think the sooner you recognize the larger risks you can take, like that assessment would have been key. So the question I would have asked, like, if you were to go back 15 years, what would you have assessed? What would you have put it on paper to say, what are the career paths I can take? What price you're willing to pay for it? Will you move across countries, across nation, across cities to do that? And then what if that path leads to a faster growth, you know, in 5 years, over 10 years, would you take it? If I could go back in time, that's the question I would ask.
Yeah, so. I love that. Oh my gosh, Wealthy. Thank you so much for spending this time for me. I appreciate your vulnerability. I appreciate your openness and willingness to talk about this subject, which is probably on a lot of people's minds of how am I going to navigate my career? So I thank you so much for this time. It's been a sheer pleasure getting to know you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
And we will catch you at the next episode of Real Career Talk. Stay powerful.